جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us this most beautiful deen of Islam is blessing us every now and then with an opportunity of gaining proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inherent and synonymous with the life of a believer and with man in general is that he wants to make an investment for the future. And similar as Muslims and as Ummatis of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we also have to make an investment for our Akhirat. And these are the months where we can really score in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and earn tremendous reward in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seasons of Hajj, where we discuss the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses in the Qur'an Kareem,
إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا.
That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam kana ummatan. That yet, despite the fact that Ibrahim alayhi salam was one individual, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kana ummat. He was an entire ummat. لَيْسَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِمُسْتَنْكَرْ أَنْ يَجْمَعَ الْعَالَمْ فِي وَاحِدٍ. Nothing is difficult for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to encapsulate the qualities of the entire world in one personality, in one person. This was Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. That is why during these days of Hajj, when the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam is discussed, then so many various angles of his life are taken and discussed that each one of them is a topic on its own. That the love that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that unconditional love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he truly and dearly loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person loves any being, then he's prepared to go the extra mile for that person. That person who loves his wife is prepared to go that extra mile. He's prepared to do it for the sake of his most beloved. Example, that person who is married, he's got a wife. So his wife maybe wants to go shopping to get one shoe for Bakri Eid that's come in. So you take her to the shop, she chooses a shoe. The size is right, but the color is not right. So she says, please, can we go to the next shop? No problem, let's go to the next shop. The color is right, the size is off. But because you love her, you prepare to go to the third shop also. With a smile, not even a frown or a crease on your forehead. You'll go to the third shop. Now the size is right, the color is right, everything is right. Now darling, now you don't want to buy it, what happened? She says, no, I can't buy it now. Imagine I go in front of all my connections and my sisters ask me, how much you bought the shoe from? Imagine I tell them that 80 rand I paid for one shoe. No ways. We go into 9 West, we go into one very expensive shop to get a nice shoe. You have to pay properly also for it. So a person will go from shop to shop because he loves his wife. That person who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to do anything for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is a topic on its own, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was an embodiment of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He submitted to every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from beginning to end, A to Z, every single part of his life was submission to the command of Allah. He has to leave his hometown and he gives da'wah to his father, invites his father and his relatives. They drive him out of the city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders him, yeah, leave the city. For the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, total submission, no questions. He leaves his homeland and hometown. Many years later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with a child. Hajar radiallahu anha and Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam. He leaves them in Makkah Mukarramah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now you leave them here and you go out in the path of Allah. Invite the greater creation to my greatness. So because he loved Allah, then to submit to this command of Allah was simple and easy. No questions asked. Ya Allah, you sure? I have to leave them. I can't go Mastura Jamaat with them. I have to leave them. No questions asked. He left them and he goes out. He comes back after many trips. One of the trips when he comes back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now slaughter that son. No question. Ya Allah, I'm 90 years ripe old. Maybe you meant that I must slaughter one camel in lieu of him. Or maybe are you saying that he must do the effort of deen? What are you wanting of me? What sacrifice? He didn't ask any questions. Ya Allah, that was the dream. Let me put the knife on the throat and I'm prepared to sacrifice my son for the deen of Allah. Ya Allah, for your pleasure. Now to understand this total submission to the command of Allah, this is fully understood and comprehended in the Mi'raj of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that miraculous journey. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he went for Mi'raj, then at every heaven, he stopped and he met a prophet of Allah. First heaven he met, we too used to teaching in a madrasa. So we always ask, we want interaction. We ask the students, anyway, the first heaven was Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Second heaven, third heaven, and he continued until the sixth heaven he met Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. On the sixth heaven is Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Seventh heaven, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Nabi Sam goes into the proximity of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدَنَا. So close, only Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know what transpired. Anyway, Nabi Sam is gifted 50 salah. What? Nabi Sam is gifted 50 salah. Allah forgive me and you that 5 salah is a burden today. 50 was a gift. But the muhaddithin ask a very pertinent question. It's a very good question. You see, you went 6th heaven, Musa alayhi salam. Above that was Ibrahim alayhi salam. You got 50 salah, you coming down. Which Nabi said, go back and ask Allah for discount? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So the question asks, you have to pass Ibrahim alayhi salam. What happened there? Did you bypass him? What happened? You came to Musa alayhi salam, 6th heaven, he said, no, go back up. To and fro, 50 was discounted to 5, but the reward is still 50. Reward is still 50. Anyway, muhaddithin give the answer and say, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even if he had to tell Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah gifted me 50 salah, ala ra'si wal ayn, sar anko bar, no questions. He says, it's a gift of Allah, if it was given to me, I'll take it. I'll take 50. Submission to Allah. But when he came to Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam said, hey, I went to thick and thin. I went through the mill with Banu Israel. When I even brought the scripts and the scrolls to them, they say we want to see Allah writing it down. Whatever I brought, we brought man and salwa from Jannah for them. They said we want karela, we want beans, we want the vegetable of this dunya. I know what Banu Israel are. I know what's insan. You go ask Allah for discount, you will get it. Allah is most merciful. So he says, I know insan. You go ask Allah. But Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he would have said, no, 50 salah. No question. I'm not going back. I'm taking it and I'm going. So total submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Total submission. No questions. On the lighter side, one day, father comes home. Comes home with one toy. How many children? He got 4 children. So he calls all 4 children and he tells them, listen, I got one toy I need to give to 4. There's 4 of you all. Who must I give it to? Okay, sit in front of me. So all are sitting in front. He said, listen, this is the criteria to the child who's going to get this toy. Number one, the person who loves mommy the most. Number two, the person who listens to mommy the best. And the person, whatever mommy says, you put your head down and you do it. You don't argue, back chat, etc. So the children, they said between themselves, they make it mashwara. Loves mommy the most, obeys mommy the most, doesn't back chat mommy. All the children said, daddy, it's one toy, you deserve it. You fulfill that criteria. You're the most obedient to mommy, man. So that obedience needs to come for the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. No questions. We love Allah. That dominating, overwhelming love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to come within us. That was in the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And he exemplified the best of character. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So there's many aspects in the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that can be discussed. To continue, not to keep it too long tonight. The next important thing is the significance of the Qurbani itself, which we are discussing tonight. This Qurbani itself. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, one day they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma hadhihi al-adahi? Ya Rasulullah, what's this Qurbani? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. It's the life and the way of life of our forefather, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. Next question, instantaneously they asked, فَمَا لَنَا فِيهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. This is a believer. He is desirous of even one more good deed. One more good deed. He says, Ya Rasulullah, what is in there for us? What is in there for us? What is in there for us? One person was saying, so let's complete the hadith. What is in there for us? Nabi Sallam said, بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ حَسَنَةٍ. Every strand of hair, one good deed. So Sahaba were worried. He said, Ya Rasulullah, فَالصُّوف. What about wool? Nabi Sallam said, بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ مِنَ الصُّوفِ حَسَنَةٍ. Every fiber of wool, there's going to be hasana for you. Can we ever sit and count the fibers of wool on the back of the sheep? How much of reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us? He wants to give us. فَمَا لَنَا فِيهَا. That was the question. One person was going through some difficult time in business. So he went to one of his relatives. This relative was his brother. He's actually going through a bad patch in business. So he tells him, listen, but if you can help me a little, I got some difficulty in payments. I need 50,000 rand. So he says, no problem. What is in there for me? Well, I'm going through difficulty. What do you mean, what is in there for me? He says, I can invest this money. I can invest it. You want to give me returns? No problem. You invest that money in your business, we share the profits, no problem. Even if it's minimal, but I want something back from it. What is in there for me? That we got that desire. Unfortunately, it's only restricted to this earthly life, to money. And to akhirat, Allah forgive us. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum wanted that. So since we're on the topic of desire for reward, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the riwayat of Muslim Sharif, says that, that person, man ra'a hilala dhil hijjah, wa arada ahadukum ay yudahhiya, falyumsik an sha'rihi wa adfarihi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who seals the crescent of Zulhijjah, and he has intention and desire and aspiration of doing some qurbani, who has bought an animal, he has intentions of buying an animal, then he should not clip his nails and he should not cut his hair from the first of Zulhijjah. Until the animal is slaughtered, then he can cut his hair, cut his nails, he can do what he wants. So ulama pose a very beautiful question. What the nails and the hair got to do with the slaughtering of an animal? You see, the reward of that person who slaughters an animal is that the moment he passes that knife through the neck of that animal and the blood is flowing, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enshrouds this person, envelops this person with his mercy. The mercy of Allah covers this entire person from head to toe. So ulama explain that if my nail is little bit longer, and my hair is little bit longer also, that's how much more mercy I am desirous from Allah. How much more your nail can grow in 10 days? How much your hair can really grow in 10 days? Yet we show that eagerness to Allah. Ya Allah, we want even that much. We are miskeen, faqir. We poor, Ya Allah. We don't have much. We even desires of little bit you give us. Allah says, oh, you want that? I'll show you how kareem, how rahim, how beneficent I am, and how merciful. I'll shower much more than that on the day of Qiyamah to you. But we have to show the desire to Allah. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that this animal, وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَأْتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِقُرُونِهَا وَشَعَرِهَا وَأَظْلَافِهَا. This animal of Qurbani on the day of Qiyamah, when it comes with the hair, with the skin, with the hooves, with the horns on the day of Qiyamah, and this all will be placed onto your scales. All of this will be placed onto your scales. وَإِنَّ الدَّمَ لَيَقَعُ مِنَ اللَّهِ بِمَكَانٍ قَبْلَ أَيَقَعَ بِالْأَرْضِ فَطِيبُ بِهَا نَفْسًا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in riwayat of Tirmizi Sharif, says that the blood before it touches the ground is already hitting the scales in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Nabi Sam says, فَطِيبُ بِهَا نَفْسًا, willingly, desirously, with zeal, enthusiasm, fulfill this command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. With happiness, not as a burden, not as a some bourge on us. With desire, a person should fulfill this command and the sunnah of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us the tawfiq to fulfill this qurbani, some conditions of it. That qurbani is necessary and wajib on which person? That person obviously has to be Muslim, he has to be mature, he has to be sane, and he has to be a person who is muqeem, then it is wajib. If a person is a musafir and a traveler, it's not wajib. But if he does it, it'll still be accepted, it'll still be done, the qurbani will, you still get your full reward for it. But it is wajib on that person who is a muqeem, he's in his hometown, or wherever he may be, but he is not a traveler, he's not a musafir, then qurbani will be binding upon him. And he has to own the amount of nisab. This is very similar to that amount of nisab for zakat. He has to own that amount of money. He has to be sahib nisab, the owner of that amount of money. From the subah sadiq, or rather from the after the salah on the 10th, till the sunset of the 12th. If any time in this period, he becomes the owner and the malik of this amount, then qurbani will have to be done by such a person. He will have to do it. And if a person, for qurbani to be done, a person has to participate in it. He himself has to be there. It's not, this is not a charity. Qurbani, udhiya, is not a charity. It is a sacrifice. A person has to, he has to be busy in some physical and spiritual exercise of sacrificing for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, Allah forgive all of us. That some people, they can't even touch the animal of qurbani. By after that, you know how it smells my hand. I put so much of itar and soap, but that smell not going away. Some people, they can't even put on old clothes to go and slaughter one animal. They'll phone the farmer, qurbani done. When the meat is ready, just go distribute it. Or drop it off there. But that institution, they need lot of meat. Or go to that madrasa, they need meat. Person has to be physically involved in it. Let our children be involved. If, na'udhu billah, Allah protect us, if we are not going to have our children directly and physically involved in qurbani, in future it would become a sadaqah. It would become one. You won't see qurbani being done. Son will just deposit money, right, this is for about 5 or 6 shares, whatever the case be, qurbani is done, alhamdulillah. It's about being, it's participating in it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the riwayat even said, that if you can't slaughter, at least be there present to see the slaughtering of your animal. At least be there to see the slaughtering of your animal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us the tawfiq, that we be part of that qurbani. We there, we physically, take in part. But obviously, fulfilling the requirements of sharia, sometimes we feel, you know, such a great thing I'm doing qurbani. But yet we take in our woman folk, and scantily dressed, we go into the slaughterhouses, or you go into the farms, or wherever the case may be. That this has become more of an entertainment than an ibadat. This is an ibadat. Sometimes a person wants to go to slaughter his ox also, he has to put his head down. He's feeling shy. There's so many ladies around. He doesn't know how to get through the crowd to get to the front to slaughter his ox or his cow, whatever the case may be. So many ladies around. This is not the place for them to be. This is the place of where people are trying to execute and fulfill one of the commands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So we need to be cautious and wary about this fact. Within our homes, in our backyards, then there's no problem. A person can do all that. Sometimes as we're discussing, a person, now this cleanliness and this nadhafat that we have has to be within the parameters of the sharia. Some people say, well, I just can't eat qurbani meat. But why you can't eat? It's too fresh. It's too fresh, I can't have it. How can I have this thing? Too fresh. Let's go in the freezer. And you know when we slaughter it like this, it's not as clean as the abattoir. That animal which has been used for the sacrifice of an ibadat, we can't have. That which one person, as a job, maybe he's reading, Bismillah, Allah Akbar, slaughtering, waiting for the animal, it's carrying on in the queue and in the line, that we're eating. And we're so happy to eat it. It goes through so many fridges, and freezes and so many hands, people will hold it with gloves, with bare hands, whatever the case be, we'll eat that one. Once we had one person's house, Allah forgive us and give us the true love for the deen. Person just came back from Umrah. So he was serving some khajur and zamzam. Serving khajur and zamzam. So he dished out and served, and we took our zamzam, we were drinking the zamzam. And that one was still left there. So the host saw who didn't have. So he told him, Maaf, that zamzam, if you want you can have it, it's zamzam. He said, Jazakallah. He came back. He said, maybe he didn't hear. It's zamzam I brought from Makkah Mukarramah, we came from Umrah now. Third time he saw, he's still not having it. So he doesn't know what to say. So he just looked at him. And this person said, Maaf man, you brought it in that plastic cans. No, I don't drink water from plastic cans. If it came in a bottle or a glass, you know, glass bottle, I would have drank it. Zamzam, such pure water. What can we ask for better than zamzam in this world? Yet the person can't drink it. He says, no. But anyway, zamzam, what is zamzam? A product of sacrifice and qurbani. That rutab of Madina Munawwara is a product and the result of qurbani. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had to sacrifice. And he had to withstand leaving his child and his wife in a barren land and go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sacrificed for the deen of Allah. Because of that sacrifice, Allah blessed his family and himself with zamzam. Because of his sacrifice, Allah sprung out and gushed forth zamzam from beneath the earth. That zamzam will satiate the entire world, will never deplete. Everyone will take home tens of liters, 20 of liters, and it doesn't dry up because of the sacrifice of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam was in Makkah Mukarramah, going through difficult times, persecution, the difficulties, atrocities of the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah. Then he's driven out of Makkah Mukarramah and he leaves and goes to Madina Munawwara. That is why now we relish, we cherish this date and the rutab. Rutab is from Madina Munawwara. Ah, mashallah, that's the one I want. Sacrifice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he stayed in Makkah Mukarramah, there's no dates. He had to go all the way to Madina Munawwara, make hijrat with his family, lock, stock and barrel. Now we enjoy the rutab of Madina Munawwara. We go to Madina Munawwara. Sacrifice, result of sacrifice. This is the master key to success and barakah. Qurbani is the master key to success and to barakah in anything in this world. Whether it be dunyavi, whether it be ukhrawi, whatever we want, we have to sacrifice. Person has to sacrifice. The secret ingredient. So, the animal of qurbani itself, there are certain things obvious. If a lady is in nifas or she's in haiz, can she slaughter an animal? Yes, by all means, she can slaughter the animal. There's no prohibition. She can go and she can slaughter it. Within the limitations of the Sharia, she can. And the animal itself, some defects because of which the animal will not be accepted. That if the horn is broken from the root, then that animal is not permissible. Anything above the root, irrespective of the amount, will be permissible. But from the root, that animal will not be permissible and suffice for the qurbani. The eyesight, one third or more, that animal will not be sufficient and accepted. More than one third of the eyesight. Now, how do you know this? Which optician is going to come and do an eye test? Obviously, there are certain ways that people come to know. Those people who are the masters and have they know about the animals will be able to tell you. They do a certain test on the animal by placing the grass at a certain distance, etc. Or they come and they look into the eye of the animal and from there they can gauge, or they have the eye open and they use the movement of the hand to see if there's any reflection. From there they can gauge what is the sight and how much has been lost of the animal. The ears, if the animal does not have any ears, meaning born without ears, that animal is also not sufficient. More than one third of the ears is cut off, that also will not be permissible. More than one third is cut off, that will also not be permissible. That animal which is injured on one leg, it's injured to such an extent that this leg cannot be used even for supporting itself, will not be permissible for qurbani. But if it can support, it's injured, it picks it up, but it supports itself in the movement and in its walk, then that animal is fine. In its movement, it can support itself, it can be used. Many a times a person buys an animal, he brought it home, everything is fine, no problem at all. The moment they caught the animal from the pen and they're bringing it towards the place of slaughter, now this animal gets injured. If the animal gets injured in the process of qurbani, that is permissible. That animal will suffice. Example, it hurt its eye, the horn got broken, whatever the case may be, it injured its leg and it can't move with that leg anymore. So that animal in the movement, in the process of the qurbani and the sacrificing and the slaughtering, if it gets injured, that is overlooked, that that animal will be sufficient for the qurbani. And many other laws, any specific questions people have, you can direct those questions to whichever alim you have, whichever institution you are comfortable with. You can find out whatever nitty-gritty questions you have, intricate questions. And the ages of the animal, obviously if it is in our situation in South Africa, where we have a cow, a bull, ox, whatever the case be, those minimum is 2 years. Goat, sheep, etc., minimum is 1 year old. But there is an exclusion for the sheep. That sheep which is 6 months and older, but it looks like a 1 year old sheep, will be sufficient. Although it is 6 months or 8 months old, but it looks like a 1 year old sheep, that animal will be sufficient for the qurbani. Many a times we find that nowadays people, this has become, Allah forgive us, this qurbani has become more of a status now. That people actually speak about it. Hey, you must come home, huh? Let's come check. I got this one, 110 kilo. So everyone comes to his house to see, oh, 110 kilo. Hey, what a massive one. No man, you heard about that farm. He bought 165 kilo. Looks like a calf. Let's have a look at this one. Hey, what difficulty. We can't even drop it down. It's so difficult. Now, people are buying very expensive, big animals, just so everyone can talk how big and fat his animal is. If that's the intention, what reward are we getting? What reward are we getting? And that too, some farmers even say that those massive rams, massive things, 100 and above, for the farmer it's worth nothing. It's overgrown its lifespan. He wants to give it away. They're prepared to sell it for 1,000, even 1,000, just maybe around 1,000 rand. But now because they know the Muslim market qurbani time, they want to vie with each other and compete with each other in size. And they charge ridiculous prices, 3,000, 4,000 rand for such big animals. And now the meat itself, is that edible? One person who slaughtered last year that same type of animal, such a big thing, 155 kilos. He said, Mona, that meat, it just wasn't too edible. Now if you can't eat it, you can't even give it to the poor to eat. What happened to the meat? It's not edible. It's not something that a person can even cook and eat it. So what you did? You just boasted with everyone to show that you could do a very big animal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Let us do it sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it's small, but if it's for Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us reward for that. And the animal itself, at the time of the sacrifice, at the time of slaughtering, then don't drag the animal. Person should be as humane as possible. He should be very gentle, polite with the animal. It does not mean now he must be polite if the animal running away now, let it run away also. Meaning he shouldn't injure the animal, he shouldn't be too hard with the animal. The animal is not moving, then he hits it, he gives it one, two very bad shots and etc. This is uncalled for, a person shouldn't do that. And when bringing the animal, be gentle with the animal to the best of your ability, polite with the animal. When you're bleeding it, now you don't have to open that mouth of that animal and force it to drink. Wallahu alam, where this came out from, there is no way in the hadith or anything like that. That animal sometimes, shame, you feel sorry for these animals. It's lying down on its side, one person is putting his mouth like that, so the mouth can open, other person is pouring that, the bucket of water also. What are you doing with it? It's an animal, man. You don't treat it like, meaning you must treat it properly. Although it's an animal, don't treat it like that now. You have to treat it properly. There's no sunnah of that. If there is water in the pen, and it's drinking water, well and good. If it was eating in a pen, well and good. You don't have to bring it here. Sometimes people are putting hose pipe right on the mouth. So these things are uncalled for. There's no basis for all of this. No basis at all. And when you bring the animal, then the animal will be put obviously onto its left hand side. It'll be put onto its left hand side because you're going to be slaughtering with the right hand. So the animal on the left hand side facing towards Qibla, the animal will be facing, you also be facing towards the Qibla, and you'll be behind the animal if it is a, example you're talking about sheep, and you'll be slaughtering this animal from behind with the right hand. And the dua to, the most important thing, in the slaughtering of the knife has to be sharp. The knife has to be sharp. And sharpen it not in the, in full view of that animal. The animal mustn't see blood. It mustn't see another animal being slaughtered. And you don't come and sharpen the knife in front of that animal. You don't do that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't do this in front of the animal, because this is like a double killing of that animal. So you sharpen the knife, but before, and you will slaughter that animal. The most important thing in the slaughtering of that animal is Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. To say Allah's name at the time of the slaughter. That's most important. Don't forget that. Sometimes that animal is lying down, people are holding it. Person is bringing the card and he's reading all the long duas. If you know the dua, read it. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifan wama ana minal mushrikeen. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin. Recite all these duas before the animal is placed down to be slaughtered. Read all your duas. Sometimes the animal is lying down. Person is, he say, I missed out any duas. Which are the ones? He's asking everyone, which duas I missed out? That animal is waiting to be slaughtered. It's kicking. It's fighting for itself. And you're causing taklif to that animal. To the best of your ability, don't cause any harm, any discomfort to that animal. No discomfort at all to that animal. And it shouldn't see, as we said, blood. Nothing it should see. Sometimes a person, so at the time of slaughter, don't forget, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. Person should recite that and he should slaughter it. Sometimes a person is so busy, he's so busy shouting everyone who's holding his sheep. If one leg has to go loose, his knife is going like this, Bamagashli, Bamagashli. Instead of reading Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, he's screaming at the time of the slaughter, how he must hold that animal. Before that, the person must hold as tight as possible, and then you read the dua and then you slaughter that animal. And the important thing is, don't interfere with the animals. Especially our ox, especially our bulls and our cows. Some of the farms, the news that comes back, I mean, the people that are involved in all of things, maybe not even sitting in this program, or wherever the programs are taking place, that we trouble the animals. We ask for trouble sometimes. Sometimes you hear from farms, this injury, that injury, the, you know, people actually, they wait, they go to the farm. Hey, any action? Which one jumped out? Who shot it? What gun you all used? So happy, like, you know, waiting for an animal to jump out of the pen, it must go berserk and jump into the crowd. Someone takes out his rifle like a cowboy. He shoots at him from a distance. Everyone says, oh, what a shot. That is entertainment. This is not qurbani. The animal is waiting in its, in the queue or in the line. Person goes and pokes it. Person does funny things. Or he troubles the animal. This is uncalled for. This is something we're sending to Allah. We are actually sending these animals for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. How can we trouble these animals? If a person really knows what he's doing, they won't do all these things. But Allah forgive us that we're acting like babies and like children. With treating these animals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each one of us, grant us the tawfiq. What do you do with the meat of the animal? One third you can keep for yourself, one third for the neighbors and the friends, and one third for the poor people. I mean, this is not necessary. You can distribute how you want. Keep the whole thing for yourself also. Person can do that. Person also gives the whole thing also away. He can give the entire animal into sadaqah, into qurba'ah, into charity, and distribute everything for everyone. But the important thing, very important, especially at the time of qurbani, when the person is coming to your house, especially in your house, then you got on person to skin. Before he even starts, you ask him, listen, how much will you charge per carcass? At that time, you fix the price. Don't wait for him to finish everything. Hey, Baba, you can't charge me 50 rand. Everywhere they're charging 35 rand. No, wait 50 rand for you. You didn't fix the price before, that fault is yours. You'll have to fix the price before he even starts with the carcass. Fix that price so there's no ill feelings. So he doesn't end up with a wrong feeling of Muslim. Ah, these Muslims, they cheat us, etc. And you cannot give any part of the animal, the meat, the hooves, whatever the case be, the head, as payment for the slaughtering, for the cleaning of that animal. That's not permissible. You can't give that part of the animal for any payment. Sometimes the example, the skinner is finished. How much you owe him? 200 rand. You say, Baba, listen, you take two heads, right? You give me 150 discount. Right? You take two heads. Now you're giving him two heads, and what are you doing? You're asking for a discount. So that was part of the payment. That's not permissible. You cannot do that. The skin, you can derive benefit on your own. You can use it, you can tan it. Whatever you want to do, you can use it. But if a person is not using it, then to dispose of it in sadaqah, in charity, the proceeds of it, or give the skin itself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us that the tawfiq to have that spirit in the qurbani of sacrificing. Do it correctly. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah katab al ihsan ala kulli shay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained ihsan, Allah consciousness, in every of your ibadah. Wa idha zabahtum fa ahsinu dhabha. Even if you're slaughtering, Nabi Sam said, have the sifat of ihsan when you're slaughtering. Not only when you're in the masjid, standing in front of Allah, now you conscientize yourself. I'm standing in front of Allah and I read my salah. Nabi Sam is saying that condition should come over you even when you're slaughtering an animal. Even at that time, be conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward each one of us for coming. The message that has been passed on, we need to pass it on to our relatives. When we're sitting with our family, our relatives, discuss these important things. The treatment of the animal is vital. It's important. This is not an entertainment. This is something that we need to be very cautious and wary about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide each one of us. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Anyone's got any questions, we can direct it to the ulama. The animal will be halal, but the sunnah is to cut with the right hand. Meaning Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did all important good things with the right hand. Person is a lefty, then if he holds the knife with the right hand and gives support with the left hand, or holds it with the left hand and gives support with the right hand, either way, as long as the right hand is there. Like sometimes, you know, a person is drinking water. He's worried the glass mustn't get dirty. So he holds it with the left hand and he puts his right hand like that. And he feels it is. He did one sunnah. Like, so he just like comforts himself. Although the sunnah is only with the right hand. So similar in this way also. As long as that part of the animal where you're slaughtering is facing towards Qibla, it is fine. So the legs will be a little bit in a slant and the head part towards Qibla, it's fine. SubhanAllah, bihamdihi, 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 subhanAllah,